coming out as muffled on your line as you are on the phone, we have a problem. So if not, would somebody mind sending an email and telling Don, letting us know how his voice quality is? I would really appreciate it. Okay? Because otherwise, I'm going to have to do most of the talking, and your mother's going to get mad at me again.
Well, of course she is.
So,
well, the problem is, see, I'm too, I'm breaking into the system with a different, without a microphone, and it just doesn't work very well.
Why don't you just talk on the telephone? Since we're on a conference call, pick up the telephone.
Well, I am, but it's rerouted through another mixer into the digital hybrid mixers, which then go into the system. So it's.
Do you have a volume control for your voice?
I do. Let's see if I can use it. How's that? No, maybe that. Well, how's that? A, B, C, D? That sounds a little better. How's that? Is that better?
Seems to be getting slightly better.
Ah, good. Well, maybe...
I can't tell what's coming out on my earpiece and what's going out on the air.
Right. Well,
you know what I mean? I can only tell what's on my earpiece.
Right.
So listen, let's try to give people something of value instead of complaining about all the equipment, okay?
Let's do that.
So... When Don and I do these shows, for those of you that are tuning in for the first time, this all started, oh, I guess a couple of months ago, when Don invited me to do a show because I had all this very unusual experience about communicating with a group soul called the Elohim, getting another group soul in my dreams, and having written a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And somehow or another, because of all these experiences and having the opportunity to ask lots of questions, I developed a cosmology of what's happening on our planet from a celestial perspective that is not normally available in regular human research. Now, I'm not the only one that's come up with this, but I probably have one of the more credible stories to put together, and that oftentimes I present a story and let people draw their own conclusions. But it's a fairly compelling story explaining things like why the Mayan calendar ends in 2012, what Jesus meant by ascension, and why some of the negative phenomena that we see going on our planet is happening. And so I did a show with Don by myself, and then we started talking twice a week. And it seems like our conversations would get very creative, and I said that I think that people would enjoy our conversations. Why don't we just put up a show and call it the Don and Wynn Show? So then we talked about that idea.
Well, we did, but originally you wanted to call it the Wynn and Don Show.
Right, but then we said we better not get your mother mad. So I secretly recorded one of our conversations, and then in the middle of it I said, Don, I'm recording this. This is our first show, and we put it up. And you can go, I think somebody can look at their archives. And
sure, but the quality is going to be horrible. Just probably
the quality is horrible.
Yeah, kind of. It'll be about as bad as this, unfortunately. Until next week, things are going to on this end. When I'm doing a show, it's going to be a little weird. But next week, it'll all be smooth, and then we can hear your voice in all its wonderful glory.
So the theme of the show is Drive Time Radio. It's out of this world, and. We never know how it's going to go. The idea is there's a flow. We start on a topic. Right? We're going to have some guests. But we do mean, I intend, that during the course of the show, that an energy might build amongst all the listeners. And I've learned that there's this, we actually connect in the grids. So some of you are listening with your ears, and you might pay attention, because if we do have this energy shift, which we often do, it means we've connected beyond our ears and into the grids of the planet, and we're part of the healing process then of the planet. So I don't feel actually very equipped today. I spent the last 2 days, amongst other things, I'm a songwriter, and I kind of put my songwriting all on the back burner for the last 5 years while I was working on my book and putting the book out. And I decided to see if I can't get some of my songs into the market. And it's actually, my songs are in the same ballpark as all my other writing, where I was having these, I guess you would call it, interdimensional experiences years ago, miracles of synchronicity, and I was trying to convert them into music. And so it's interesting. I haven't done anything in the music industry for years, and there's a new organization that's been around for about 12 years called TAXI, and I think TAXI is a model of, I guess, what you could call higher dimensional business. And it interfaces with songwriters and the music industry so that without taking any percentages, they just act as songwriters' agents, but they charge a yearly fee, and they go to bat on behalf of the songwriters, and they've created billions of dollars of income for songs and liaisons that would be very hard to connect with. So I'm at their convention right now, and probably over the last 2 days, I handed my CD to a guy that produced, who is that really country singer that's really famous? Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks and the vice president of A&R at one of the record companies. I thought, you know, so it's like kind of a place that people schmooze. And I can say that I have a whole different attitude towards people now than I did years ago when I was actually thinking that I wanted to be successful in the music business. And I suddenly, you know, when you meet people of position and power and fame, there was a tendency to create some kind of hierarchy, like I was lesser than them because I didn't have those things. And I see that I don't react to anybody like I'm lesser than. They're just other people. And I see that as I treat them that way, they treat me back that way. When you treat people, you know, in a deferential manner, they actually feel more uncomfortable in general, unless they want to order you around, and then they're happy with that. So it's an interesting experience. And who knows, maybe some of my songs will come out in a bigger way. It's not my priority. And I'm hogging all the airwaves. Are you there? Are you participating?
I'm always participating. That's just what I do. You know, when you know what I wanted to discuss today with you was more along the lines of how to ground yourself during a lot of the chaos that's taking place. And as we can see, of course, in the political and economic sphere, things are getting more and more crazy. I mean, we're hearing that, of course, even with Dr. Len Horowitz, who we're blessed to have on our show, and I mean blessed, because I think the world of Dr. Horowitz and what he's trying to do. And, you know, when we're hearing about these people, you know, in the higher levels of our government that are trying to produce various vaccines to basically be used as a genocidal product to depopulate the undesirables, let's call them, it not only creates a lot of chaos and fear, but you've got you know, them stepping up into Syria now and starting to make waves there, and they're starting, I mean, even though we're trying to bring them down, and there's many wonderful people trying to bring the truth out, and we can see that happening, at least in some small ways in the government now, as they're starting to indict several of them, and the domino effect will occur. These people that are a part of that chaotic darkness are just, they're like caught in the corner, and they're lashing out, and they're going to create more and more fear and more chaos as they go. And that's that's really their desire. And at this point, you know, I get a lot of emails. I mean, folks, we get about 400 emails a day minimum. We're getting millions of hits per day. We've grown to a very substantial size now, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. And what that's telling me is people are starting to become aware. But when I listen to their emails and I talk to them on the phone, I also notice that people are quite worried, and they're looking for answers, and they don't know where to go. And even when they find us, they still have more questions than they have answers. So one of those things I would like to talk about today is how they ground themselves during that chaos. Because it's important. It's going to get more and more chaotic, and that's what our perceptions are going to, bring to us, because there's a karmic consequence in our history that needs to be accepted, forgiven, and loved. And so those situations are going to come to us as a human unit, and they're going to come pretty fast. So what would you do? I mean, what would you do in order to stay centered?
Well, Don, that's a good question to a kind of people that have been telling all his life, Quinn, you're so ungrounded. It's like,
and by the way, No, what I was trying to say is it's your cell, by the way, that's garbled. I don't think it's the system. I think when I called you up on the cell, the signal is so poor, and since it's on a cellular, it's causing a bunch of weird magnification within the system. So I believe a lot of it might have to be because you're on a cell line in some remote area.
Actually, I have a good signal strength right here, Tom.
Yeah, but it's still going to catch whatever's between it. That's, you know how this system is. It picks up every last scratch. It's like I can't really explain it. But it digitizes the analog signals. And when you are running a cell phone, which is a digital signal through an analog line and then back in through the digital system that I have, it makes things a little weird.
Well, when you talk about grounding,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about the idea of grounding,
right?
There's you know you can make things extremely simple, and there is only one simple thing, and that is to be a conduit between the galactic center and the Earth.
And how would you do that?
And that those energies should pass through your body.
And how would you do that?
First of all, you start off with that idea, that's what you're looking for. That's what you want to happen.
Right.
Then you start thinking of reference points when you can identify having had that experience. Now, you know, when I say being a conduit between the galactic center and the center of the Earth, it sounds kind of far out. I mean, some people are going to say, what have you been smoking, Wayne? what in the world does that mean? And it paints an image that it's like you're out of this world, and in a sense you are, but you don't know it. It's like you only know the effects. Everyone has had the experience of having, I believe most people, I won't say everyone, but most people in some way or another have had that experience. And the experience of being that conduit where you feel really together, empowered. I mean, one of the probably best reference points for that experience, for some people, not for everybody, but for some people, is a really good intimate connection.
Why wouldn't they just detach from everything, like all the news and all the bad things, and totally detach from it? Wouldn't that be one way they could stay grounded, just totally and absolutely, no matter how scary the message, no matter what the fear is out there, no matter what's being perpetrated, and or any of the propaganda, to just absolutely detach from it emotionally, step aside, look at yourself, and monitor your own thoughts and step out of that reality that you're perceiving and get into that gap where that reality isn't affecting you.
Well, so oftentimes when somebody steps out of the reality that they're familiar with or that's imposed upon them,
right,
they step into a void because they haven't developed the inner reality to sustain them yet. And so...
But they're going to have... But see, and I know what you're saying, but see, there's very little time for many people to develop an inner reality, I mean, that will sustain them. I think they need to just jump right in and detach themselves completely from any of the fear-based perceptions that are occurring in this illusion. I mean, completely detached.
Well, what I can say, it always helps to go towards the positive.
Correct.
Rather than away from the negative, okay? Go towards the positive. What is the positive? What is the negative? I mean, if you focus on all these things that we're talking about, all the things here you were just talking about, you can, okay, you if you fill yourself up with the positive, you're not preoccupied with, you know, it's tricky. I mean, there's not a cookie cutter answer here, Don. There really isn't. I mean, you know,
that's
there
true.
Is.
You're right, but I think
not only that, every single person is totally unique, and every single person is going to have a different path to unfold this stuff, and to try to say everybody do this or everybody do that, you're giving people the wrong information. Because what will work for one person won't work for another.
Well, that's true, I don't think everybody has all the answers. I think all we can do is our best to illuminate a path that may work for some, and again, it may not work for everybody. But there are so many people asking these questions, and maybe one path is to detach, and I think. Maybe there's the other path would be to meet these lessons face on and feel the energies and feel those fearful energies and then say to yourself, is this what I want? And, you know, a lot of people like myself, I try to detach from this, from these messages, but oftentimes if the message keeps coming around, I expose myself to it in such a way as I can completely and utterly put myself into that emotion and let it wash over me and then give it up.
Well, you see, Don, one thing you have is you have a mission that you can immerse yourself into. And when you immerse yourself into your mission, you automatically detach your energies from the other stuff because your mission is a high purpose beyond that. So, you know, that's probably a great tool to have a mission. And if someone can have a mission that they can be passionate about, they will automatically start bringing in the energies that come from them and keep them outside of the matrix. Like, for example, when somebody says, what do I do? What do? I would ask them, are you watching television every night? Do you come home from work and turn on the tube every night? Sit and watch for a couple hours? And what do you do on the weekends? How do you spend your time? Are you reading books of a spiritual nature? Are you reading books? Are you putting positive input into yourself?
Good point.
These are all the things that start to switch you around. You know, I don't think you can walk up to somebody and say, well, just detach yourself, and that they do it. I mean, it's kind of like, Don, in the next minute, I want you not to think of the word frog, okay? Don't think of the word frog. And everyone listening, don't think of the word frog. You see what I mean? You can't say, well, just detach yourself. It's like saying, don't think of the word frog. You got something that's in your space, it's in your face. And you turn on the TV, you take more in. You're talking to your friends, oh my God, did you hear what Bush did now? And so, well, all you're doing is constantly building an energy of being in all of that stuff. So the first thing is to stop building that energy. stop putting the things into you that keep building that energy, and start putting the things into you, into your mind, into your thoughts, that don't build that energy, that build another energy, that build something that you know is positive. And then that starts the process, because it is a process. Now, if you start thinking desperate, we don't got time, we don't got this, we don't got that, well, you're now desperate. So how are you going to operate out of desperateness? You're not. You've got to act right in the moment, and you've got to start where you are, and you have to trust in the process. And let the process, because you're not going to be able to pace in that process. And, I mean...
So in other words, what you're saying is, if we were to do this, if we were to hold up one ideology that says detach, and then the second one was to, let the process unfold, we would give the detachment one thumbs up and one thumbs down. Is that what we're saying?
Well, something like that. Well, I mean,
are you giving it the thumbs down?
Let's look at. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, let's ground this into reality. Let's take like typical cases. Okay.
Okay.
Let's take a case. You know, a case circumstance, and look at different kinds of people, and look at what they're going through, and see how they might handle it, okay? One kind of circumstance is, and a lot of people are experiencing this, I'm losing my job, or I'm not making enough money, I'm not covering the bills. And now, we hear the economy is going to get worse, okay? And it's like they're sitting there, and they're trembling. What do they do? Now, you see, you and I have different outlooks on that. I have an RV. I live on the side of the road in my RV. I don't care that much. I do care. Of course I care. But, I mean, I'm a survivor. I believe that I can create circumstances where I can be okay. But I know that other people can't do that. I'm not going to tell them to do what I do. You, for example, you have a company that's successful, that's allowing you to do this. I mean, other people don't have that kind of option. You and I have different solutions to the same problem, but then you have to look at how does somebody handle that solution. I think the most important thing that a person can do is intend to build relationships with others of a spiritual nature. Not only a religious nature, I mean a spiritual nature.
See, what you're always promoting then is somebody has to do something. See, that's where you and I think, quite differ. I totally believe that in order for somebody to remove the fear and to get out of that perception, he has to do nothing. All he needs to do is absolutely detach from that situation and find his center. He can.
So you know what?
Mm-hmm.
You have to send me a case study of somebody that did that, okay? And lots of people that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, I personally think that that is a solution that if you tell it to a certain few people, they hear it and maybe they can implement it. I don't think the majority of people can implement a solution like that. Now, you know what? If people are emailing, let me know. Because, you know, if I could just walk around and all I have to do is tell people detach, don't think about it. Now, I'm not telling people not to detach.
It's not to detach.
I'm telling people to focus on something positive.
Sure. Well, that's what kind of what detaching is. First, you have to detach yourself from those negative emotions or fearful emotions, and then you, of course, you can find your center, And then, obviously, putting positive things into your life is something that I think is quite necessary.
Yeah.
But I'm talking, let me give you a for instance. Let's say somebody realizes that, that there was a massive hurricane, and it just wiped out their house. And it wiped out everything they owned, and they don't know what they're going to do at that point. They're just totally in fear and awe and everything at that point. What do you think? You think they should go read a good book?
I think they should go have a hamburger. Or a veggie burger.
Well, what I'm trying to say is...
Let me say that I've been in that kind of circumstance. Myself.
Yeah.
Not in a hurricane necessarily, but I've been in circumstances where things fell totally apart in my life.
Right.
And I've had to pick myself up. And sometimes I didn't do so good at it, and then I got better at it. So, you know, it's like, you're telling people that do it all yourself. I don't think people can do it all themselves. I think we need each other.
I agree.
I think it's in the ways that we let each other need each other that we actually both get help and we get opportunities to be of service to those who need help. And when it's real service, the energy flows. And you automatically, by taking action and having energy flow, you go into a state of worthiness. And worthiness starts to heal the other stuff. And then you go into a state of feeling self-empowered. And then you have a feeling that you can do something. And that you're valid. And you're authentic. Because if you're just sitting there passively, working every day, coming home, watching TV every day, you know, then you are living in an automaton life. You're not doing anything out of the matrix. You're not taking things in. Now, of course, people that are listening to things...
How does a person win? If somebody gets a cut, a bad cut,
yeah,
and he's in the military or he's in some out in the bushes and he gets a bad cut, what does he do? He stops focusing on the pain. And people can reach levels where they can totally detach themselves from the pain. Not to say it isn't there, and not to say more isn't going to come. But
wait a second. If he gets a bad cut, don't you think he gets a Band-Aid first?
There might not be a Band-Aid. See, I still haven't gotten my point out yet, Wynn. And my whole point is this, that if we are truly spiritual beings, and we are truly beings that are connected with God, and we understand that fully, nothing can harm us. I mean nothing.
Yeah,
let me finish. If nothing can harm us, when we truly come to that place within ourselves, then nothing can harm us. So therefore, of course these situations are going to face everybody on a daily basis, smaller and greater situations depending on the circumstance and the time. But if we learn to just look at those events or occurrences, no matter how bad, as an observer, instead of taking a active emotional position in that charge, then we can then center and ground ourselves out of the chaos. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, you may not agree with that, and I'm sure many people won't, but it is one avenue that has been expressed to me through many of people who have become, I guess, enlightened, you might say, and I've also experienced it myself in the worst possible times to detach yourself from those perceptions. Now, even when you can't, and sometimes you can't detach yourself, then sometimes you have to explore it. And that means there's a lesson there, and you need to fully feel what that energy, pain, or fear is in order for you to to comprehend what the lesson is or what the emotion is in its completeness. And then, and at that point, can you let it go? Now, that's really fully what I've been trying to explain. So, I mean, I'm just trying to think of solutions, trying to present solutions to people that as things get crazier, because I personally believe they will, and some do and some don't. I'm not saying they will, I'm saying I believe they will. And as they do, we got to act more as observers and more stay centered, knowing that within us is that completeness and that strength of the Creator, since we are one with Him, and therefore we can learn to depend on that and go to that space when it's necessary and ground ourselves, no matter what is happening outside.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what grace is?
Do I know what grace is?
Yeah. Or maybe share what you think grace is, and I'll tell you what I think it is.
Sure, absolutely. I think grace is the absolving of karmic consequences. That's what I believe grace is. When a lesson is not necessary, I believe grace removes that karmic lesson or the karmic consequence of a lesson. That's the short of it.
And how does a person experience that? How do they know grace has come in?
Very good. A person, I believe, can experience grace by meeting those situations, those lessons that come to him, and again, finding their center and detaching from them, or accepting the situation, in other words, forgiving it with love and blessing, yourself and whatever occurrence or experience or person that gave you that lesson. And in that way, you can experience, I personally believe, the grace of the Creator, or the grace of, I guess you have to almost say it's the grace is more the forgiveness. If you were to put one word that defines grace, I would have to say forgiveness. Does that answer it?
Try to run it back to you, but just maybe add a couple things, okay?
Sure. Yes.
I think grace is where you realize that you've moved into something that was beyond your ability to create, and yet it got created anyway. It got created by magic. It got created. Something shifted inside of you. Some big problem, some big obstacle, some big hurt, some big pain. Something happened, and it's almost like it comes in off to the center, and you don't even realize it happened. And you look back a month later and said, wait a second, that thing that was like in front of me for years and years suddenly isn't there anymore, okay? So this is an act of, like what you said, you described it as relieving yourself of karmic consequences, right?
Yes, that's exactly how I would describe it.
And I would say that what happens is you've come in at the top, and you've worked it and worked it and worked it, even when nothing was going on. And eventually, you created the circumstances for a...
Well, see, grace means nothing to do. To me, grace doesn't mean created or did anything. Grace just means acceptance and forgiveness to a point where you don't need to create it. The lesson is over. It's unnecessary any longer.
Acceptance and forgiveness are not grace. They are the qualities that a human takes that can lead to grace.
Correct.
That's not grace.
No, but I'm saying if you were to choose one word that would define grace, it would be forgiveness, because I think that's what grace is. It is the forgiveness of lessons.
Maybe forgiveness in the sense that the divine has forgiven you.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Not that you're forgiving something else, but
you're now forgiven, correct.
Well, you're forgiving yourself. The high part of
Well, remember, when the higher sources forgive you, you must have already forgiven yourself.
Right.
So, so one leads to the other.
I would say that you are the same high source that is also forgiving you.
Agreed.
In other words, it's all one.
Correct.
So it's like who you are. When you say forgiving yourself, then you are the high source that's forgiving you.
Right.
You are that source.
Right. Well, again, it comes back to this. When if someone, let's say it's getting very chaotic, and let's say someone, again, is going through a chaotic period where there's certain things, earth changes happening, family members are in danger, and everything seems to be falling down around him. I mean, you can't go to that person and say, read a good book, go pray, try to find something positive in your life. And, I mean, you can, and it's a good idea, but I'm saying, in the moment, how are they going to deal with these situations the best way they can in the moment? And it always
the best way is to try to help others.
Correct. Correct.
I mean, if things are falling apart.
But if they're falling apart to you, do you just go out then and help others? You see, what I'm trying to do is bring it down to a situation where as things get a little chaotic,
what would be a
way for people to deal with that is going to help them spiritually become aware of who they are and what this illusion means to them and how they can deal with it?
No fear of death. How can I be of service and get up every day and think that and look for those opportunities?
Yeah.
Okay, no fear of death. I know I exist. And how can I be of service? And, you know, the deal is that when you lift your vibe up, no matter how bad things are, you can still lift your energy. And if you lift your energy, you lift the energy of those around you, and now you become a positive beacon for those people.
Yeah.
How do you become a positive beacon? You're walking around, you know, that's the key. How do you make that shift? I remember I learned this. I'll tell you a story. It was years ago when I was selling sunglasses, and I was just totally broke. And I wrote all these bad checks to buy a bunch of sunglasses, and I didn't mean for them. They were bad at the time I wrote them, but I had the weekend to make them good, okay? And so I went to a festival, and I'm not recommending anybody do this. I'm just talking about what happened to me. I went to this festival, and believe me, I really needed the money. I needed to pay a lot of things off. And I can't remember, you know, the circumstances, but I was in total anxiety at the beginning of that festival.
Right.
And I realized that if I was in anxiety, this anxious state I was in was causing people to all walk by me. I mean, no one wants to stop and buy a sunglasses from somebody that's in an anxious state. So,
we just got an email, by the way. They're saying that that I'm coming in muffled and that you're coming in crystal clear, which is nice to know. Again, by next week, we should have this completely fixed. But I thank the audience. We've got about 7 emails now from the audience telling us, some are saying it's all garbled. Some are saying it's, Karen's saying that, I guess I'm garbled and you're clear. And someone's saying is they can't hear me at all. Someone's saying there's a bunch of clinging popping, so.
Your mother's going to be mad.
You know, hey, we're a mad family. They call me the... But thank you. We appreciate your emails. Again, please, please forgive.
You're doing something different this week than we did last week.
Well, I am, and it's because, again, you know, I'm really trying to do a good job here, and every time, I put this together, there's quirks, and I need to get more and more componentry to make it all happen. And unfortunately, I was promised to have certain components that it would be shipped, and then I got emails stating that it was on back order, and I could have ordered these parts through other people, but that's the way things tend to go, in the service and the business industry.
Hmm? So Don, did you detach yourself when all this happened?
Sure. I figured there must be a reason, and probably because I'm doing such a lousy show right now that we don't want people to hear me.
Matthew, Matthew, we're superstitious. He would say, God's punishing that voice. Giving him a muffled voice. Well, listen, let me go back to that whole thing of grace, okay?
Sure.
Because you know, what it comes down to, is what can a person do? What can they do? They sit right now. People are listening, I would suspect, saying, what can I do? I want to go from here to there. What can I do? And then, of course, we live in America, and we want an instant fix, right? Well, you can get an instant fix. They're down in Skid Row, or, you know, I mean, it's got the extra money. But that's not a real fix. That's just temporary.
Right.
But, you know, how do you affect a shift? Well, you know, you and I disagree, but I wouldn't be surprised if you agreed with me by the end of the show. But
I always agree with you, Wynn, even when you're wrong.
But, you know, this whole process has to take time. It can take shorter time or longer time. But, you know, there's not an instant fix to say just detach yourself or just do this, just do that. Every human has to go through a process. If you remember on that message we put up recently, there was this beautiful thing about people becoming, they used the analogy of hens and chicks. Do you remember?
Right, yes.
And that people would go through a period of a number of months, and they'd go through these changes, and it wouldn't be that comfortable, and after so many months, they would then be holding the energy that other people could hold. Okay?
Right, right.
With other people. But they described the process. They didn't say, just go for it, you're there. Because, you know, when you're talking about holding an energy that's interdimensional, that's beyond this level, you can't force that. It has to come. And you have to go through certain things. And probably the first thing is to believe it's possible, even when you feel very far from it, to believe that it's possible to hold that energy. And second of all, it helps that, you know, you believe that there's forces in other dimensions that are trying to help you, and that will help you if you ask, because otherwise you get estranged and lonely and separate from everything, and you can't get out of it. What it is, each person has built a matrix of their reality over many lifetimes, not just this lifetime, but over many lifetimes. They're living in a matrix, and now they want to expand their matrix, but everything that they've ever learned or taught or experienced was still within a certain confinement. And how do you expand your matrix? First thing is you have to believe it's possible. You have to look at other people that have walked in your shoes and what they've done to expand their matrix. To go from the overwhelming problems you have to the next thing. You know, I remember on TV once, there was the story of this guy who was, he had cerebral palsy, I believe, and he was in a town, and he would have qualified to be in a home, he would have qualified to be taken care of for the rest of his life as a ward of the state, and what he did is he became a door-to-door salesman.
Right.
And do you ever, you know that story? Did you see that story on TV?
Yeah,
it was a beautiful story. It made me cry at the end. Because in spite of the fact of his disability, in spite of the fact of his pride that he would be going door to door and he would look really weird and dysfunctional because he, you know, walked really crooked. In spite of that, he went out and did it. And not only did he become a very personal success, but he gave everyone in that little town that he was in the opportunity to be of awesome service just by being supportive of him. He uplifted the whole damn community because he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you look at a guy that did that, and you look at yourself and you say, I couldn't do that. What would people think of me? I'd have to swallow my pride. I have my dignity. I wouldn't go door to door, you know. And so I'm not saying that going door to door is a solution, because everyone has a unique solution. But there is a way to involve yourself in life so that you are passionate. And if you are passionate, you will find a way to heal yourself. The healing will come about because of your passion. And it's not an overnight procedure. You have to learn your own abilities. You have to learn what you're good at. You have to learn what you have to give to other people. What is unique about you to give to other people? Now, you know, giving to other people can be as simple as, repairing their car. Some people repair cars with a beautiful sense of service, and others do it with, like, oh, God, I got to go to work today. Some people work in a shop, their customers are their family. And other people work in a shop, and their customers are their distractions. Some people come home, and their kids, are a pain in the ass. Other people come home, and they say, look at these beautiful beings I'm bringing into the world. How responsible I am for how they're going to grow and how they're going to be. Some people come home and look at their spouse and say, damn, they want something from me. They're a little, men always want something from women. Women look at men and say, oh, come on, leave me alone. But you know what? You're responsible for that person's being. You know, they are part of you. They are an extension of you. Why are you denying them? Why do you not love them enough to make them happy? Because if you make them happy, guess what? They're going to make you happy, but not in a state of reciprocation. You see, each of us lives a life centered around other humans. And how are we impacting those humans every day? And how can we change the impact? Most of our relationships are based on contractual relationships. How do you change a contractual relationship into a spiritual relationship? Do you know how you do that, Doc?
Well, tell me.
The way you do it is you break the terms of the contract and give more than you're supposed to.
I agree.
It works every time.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, you have a job. You have a contract. I'm going to work this many hours. I'm going to do this much. You know, find a way to do more than you're supposed to. Not to be an idiot and a fool and be taken advantage of, but maybe show kindness to the boss instead of resentment because he's your boss. Look at him as a human. Look at how he has to hold the energy for that business together. And no matter how he feels, he has assumed the responsibility to do that.
Yeah.
And he does it, and he goes in and out every day, and sometimes he's angry and he takes it out on you. Can you forgive him? Or do you say he's an a-hole because of that? You know, if you're a boss, you have far more position to be benevolent to the guys working for you and change the attitude. Do something extra. Like when they come in, say, hey, we're all going to lunch today, or everybody take off a half hour early. But don't do it as if there's an expectation. It always has to be a spontaneous gift. As soon as there's an expectation, it just means you've rewritten another clause into the contract. So you never let these extra things be expectations. They're always a free will gesture, and never, ever let them be taken for granted so that because you do it once, somebody expects it all the time. And this is the way you change relationships. Go knock on your neighbor's door and do something totally unexpected for them. Give them something. Say, bake some cookies. Here's some extras. Did you ever have that happen to you? Did you notice how good it made you feel? Do it without any expectation other than lifting the energy in the moment.
Right.
And you know what? Every single person has the opportunity to do these kinds of things every single day. and they don't take them. And they complain. Why are things going wrong? It's because everyone is holding to relationships according to the terms of the contract and not by doing something extra. The extras that turn it from a contractual relationship
right.
to a spiritual relationship.
Right.
And this is how a person starts grounding themselves, okay? Because you build a spiritual vibe with the people around you, it doesn't matter what's going on. Then you start invoking, you get the protection from the higher sources, you get, your field expands into the collective, your depressions go away, you feel valued, you feel worthy.
Well, we got an email just now, and somebody is agreeing with you wholeheartedly. We also got another one from somebody who's telling me that I should stay away from my mic because it looks like I'm driving my mic, is what he's saying. Unfortunately, and I thank you for your comment, but you see, with the system that I'm using now, I cannot alter. I can try, but it doesn't seem to work. I can't alter the amount of sound or the modulation of my sound because I'm not using a mic, which normally I would do. So again, I'm having to come into this system using a different method than a normal mic that would have clear quality to it. And I'm having to do it through a phone line that's right next, that's plugged into the backside of this system. And it doesn't give me much leeway, and I can't really do anything about the sound at this point. Again, folks, I sincerely appreciate your emails. We've had about 18 right now, and I thank you. And next week, I promise you, we will have this fixed up to snuff if I've got to walk to Florida and get the part myself.
Yeah. And listen, John, I have to say, I know I got inspired in what I was saying there, and I know I was hitting a real truth.
Yes, well, somebody was quite in agreement with you, wholeheartedly.
That was my brother-in-law. I told him to send an email.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm kidding. Thank you. But I want to say that these things, for me, have not been easy to come to. It's not like I was born and having all these realizations. I went through a life of more hell and crap and difficulties. And, I mean, I understand from very firsthand experience what people go through. And, I mean, that's what makes me good at talking about it, because it's like I am not like... See, when you call me a guru, I hate that because people think... They put it above you that somebody, deferential.
You mean you keep thinking I'm calling you a guru? No. I'm saying guru.
A guru.
Guru.
I call me guru.
I love you, Wynn. You know I love you. You're my guru.
But I'm not your guru, and I can bug the hell out of you like I can everybody else. But
somebody, by the way, just wrote me a beautiful email about your book.
Oh.
They said, I loved reading Wynn's book, absolutely, bang, 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 and keep talking. That's about it. So.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of people that have read my book don't know about my songs. And, I mean, for a long time, I didn't want to put my songs out there. You know, there's a couple things that people don't know about that have read my book. It's one of the reasons I've been able, been so happy to do this show with you, because, you've given me such a carte blanche to expose these things and talk about them. And one of them is, of course, my music, which I wrote years ago before any of this interdimensional stuff happened. And I was writing songs from my experience, and I was having all these miracles, and I was trying to capture this interdimensional stuff that was happening for me and put it into lyrics. And then I just put it on the back burner for a long time, and I'm putting it out. So Four of my songs are up on the Don and Wynn Show page.
But I play them all. I do play them all between.
You're playing them all.
Yeah.
I'm coming up with it probably by next week. Maybe I'll have my beta version of my album out on CDBaby.com.
Yeah.
So we can announce that when it comes up. I got 11 songs on it. I call it a beta version because I keep wanting to add to it, add instruments to it. And, the thing about my music is that, or my goal in writing music was to take really high spiritual concepts and put them in the language of a pop song. And I think I succeeded. And, I mean, what do you think, Don? You heard my music.
I love your music, but then I love strange music, Wynn.
You think my music's strange?
I would call you a Willie Nelson cross between Willie Nelson and Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny?
Did I say Bugs Bunny?
I meant
Daffy. Daffy Duck.
All right. Well,
no, I love your music. Your music, to me, it touches a chord in me. I mean, I love the words. I love the expression. I love the music. It comes from the heart, and to me, it touches my heart.
Yeah. So in any case, people say that I sound like, today, two people said I sound like Leonard Cohen. Remember Leonard Cohen? He wrote that song, Suzanne Takes You Down to the Place by the Water, which is a great compliment, because Leonard Cohen is a great poet and a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people have said some of my songs sound like John Lennon. I get Randy Newman a lot, occasionally James Taylor. So at least I'm in a good...
Is that the Randy E. Newman from, like, Mad?
No. You don't know who Randy Newman is?
Well, isn't there, like, a Randy E. Newman that used to be on, like, the Mad magazine?
No.
Wasn't that?
That was Alfred E. Newman.
Okay, my mistake.
Randy Newman. If you don't know who Randy Newman is, you're just proving to me that you don't watch any television.
I don't.
Randy Newman is actually very, very famous. Probably, I would say 60% of Americana would know who Randy Newman is.
Well, 60% watch TV.
But he's a very soulful guy. He's very soulful and writes really good songs. And probably one of his more favorite, two of his most famous songs were, one of them was I Love L.A., and the other one was Nobody Likes Short People. Did you ever hear that song, Nobody Likes Short People, Don?
You know I did, and I'm a short fella. So okay. I always liked that song.
All right. Well, that's Randy Newman. But in any case, listen to my songs. Let me know you like my songs. I like to hear it because it's like, it's a part of me that I buried for a long time, and I think, you know, one of the things is that getting my music out allows me to get my book out, gets my story out. It makes me more accessible to people to talk about all this stuff that's happening. So my music is one part of me, and then for those of you that are tuning in for the first time or haven't heard story. While I was writing my book, or the book I wrote with David Wilcock, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, 2 years into it, there was a direct intervention where another group soul, actually both group souls, started communicating with me, and I mean in a way that was miraculous and very, very phenomenal. And I put the story up under conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, but, you know, I don't have my name in there, and I probably will now because I'm talking about it more publicly, but I didn't put it up with my name because it was a little bit embarrassing. I mean, it was embarrassing because I was writing this very scholarly book on David Wilcock being Edgar Cayce, and suddenly I had two girlfriends in a row that are in the middle of whatever else we're doing saying, those guys want to talk to you again, and I'm having conversations with a group soul that identifies themselves as the Elohim, and they're answering all my questions, and they're confirming all the premises in the book. So I have an unusual understanding and knowledge of the cosmology that's happening on our planet right now. And I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm saying it certainly is worthy of your study and consideration. And if it is correct, it will be really important, because basically there's a case made for ascension in the next few years, that there's a dimensional shift and there's going to be people leaving this level and going into another dimension while they're in the body.
Well, what's amazing is your book actually spells out that they're going to be leaving at specific times, and it gives those years, and it talks a lot about the ascension.
My book does not give specific years. Okay?
Well, it did.
Some of the current channelings we're putting up are rather specific.
Didn't the book say 2 years? I won't give those years. I'd like people to buy the book.
Give the years. I mean, listen, the real reason to read the book is that it's been my experience that the major group oversoul for our planet, which is called himself Ra in the book, is actually, you have the opportunity to make a direct connection with them as a result of the book, to become aware that they'll work with you, they'll be present in your life. And this is like the current connection in present time for, it's what we've all hungered for, to know that we can connect with higher forces, that they're working with us. I believe that Ra throughout history has been interpreted as God, and they're not God in the way that God is normally thought of, but I'm not sure that anything is God in the way that God is normally thought of. You know, the idea that there's, this force looking down on us and deciding when is good or Don is bad, or vice versa, like a father figure. It's an image that if you work it, the higher powers will work with that image, because it's better than, certainly far better than not having any image. But the fact of the way it seems to work, as revealed in my book, is that who actually acts as the God force for our planet is a group soul, or perhaps two group souls, that used to be like us and have gone through millions of years of evolution and now are helping our planet go through its evolution. And this book is a fairly direct connection to them. First, it builds the validity of David being Casey. Then it builds the validity that this group soul was real. And then it gives their messages talking to us. And a lot of those messages, Don, talk about just the kinds of things you were bringing up. How do you get grounded? How do you be spiritual? How do you change yourself? You know, they address them.
Yes, they do.
So I really encourage people to read the book. And if you want to support the work I'm doing, get it on my website, caseysback.com. And because...
And that's C-A-Y-C-E.
C-A-Y-C-E-S-D-A-C-K. And there's a link on the Don and Wynn Show page, because, I'll tell you, people think an author, I mean, I would have thought this, when somebody is an author and you have a book out, you must think, God, the guy is making loads of money. Well, truthfully, if it wasn't for my girlfriend, I'd be on the street. And publishers pay out twice a year. They're about 9 months late in their accounting. So, I have been promoting the book. I've been doing interviews. I've been doing all these things. But very little of it brings in money. The only thing that ever brings in immediate money to live on is sales off the website. So I am very grateful if anyone orders the book off the website.
And I think they should, because it's an extremely powerful book. You know, when, I loved every chapter. I mean, it's engrossing, it's a quick read, it's in layman's terms, and you're going to get goosebumps every chapter. You know, you're one of the girlfriends who you were discussing earlier, is actually, you sent me some music, some harp music and flute music, or oboe.
Did you get the music?
I did, and may I play that on the air with the other, believe me, folks, We're going to be playing music on the air from many new bands. I have, since I put that up a couple days ago, I'm probably already got a couple dozen companies or bands or their managers either calling up, sending CDs that have new music from relatively unknown artists, and we'll be putting up their music once we get, of course, their permission slips and so on, which I want before we play their music. But you're going to get an incredible...
What should we call it? Music from Girlfriend Y?
Well, good question. In fact, before I played it, I wanted to know what the album would be entitled, and maybe...
That album is entitled... She entitled it Chiron Wind.
Chiron Wind. What a beautiful name.
C-H-I-R-O-N.
So, folks, if you listen out there on the airwaves to any... oboe or harp music, you'll know that it's coming from one of Wynn's excessive, or one of his girlfriends. The reason I said excessive, because we're still waiting for girlfriend Y, though, aren't we?
Z.
Z.
We have X and Y. I'm not waiting for Z. I got X and Y is fine, okay?
You know, my brother's writing a book. Into page 80 now, and he wants to finish it within the next month or so, but I was surprised that he was actually starting to write again. He's a wonderful writer, but it's nice to see him back into that.
Well, you know, we have some wonderful guests coming up in the future, too.
We
We have
Jean-Claude Colvin. And
Jean-Claude Colvin, the author of...
Going Deeper.
And then these things all tie together. Not all of them, but like Jean-Claude Colvin wrote a book called Going Deeper, and he was inspired to write that book by the Raw channelings of Carla Ruckert, and Carla Ruckert channeled the same Raw that we alleged that came through David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce. In 1981 through 1985. And people that have read her stuff call it the...
Law of One.
It was the Law of One, but, I mean, it's very, very, very heavy stuff on how the big picture of evolution works. I actually quoted her quite a bit in my book, and I kind of made a summation of a lot of the Raw stuff in chapter 5, which is Rah-Rah, the gag's all here.
Oh, but that's a wonderful, wonderful read. In fact, I've read the whole Law of One, and you can get to it from a link on the index at blogandservice.com.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, her actual books are more complete than what you'll read on that link. And her books are kind of interesting. It's a good start to read, to go through that link, because David Wilcock put up a summation of all her questions and answers over 4 years.
Yeah.
But in any case, Carla, is like the granddame of the Raw stuff. And it was Jean-Claude Colvin who read Carla's Raw material that inspired him to try to convert it into more accessible language. And he wrote his, stories like a parable. And so it's based totally on the Raw material. Now, Carla Ruckert sent me an email and said she'd come on the show with us, Don.
I'm amazed because, folks, there are three books that changed my life. I mean, I was already changing, but the three that changed my life, of course, was The Disappearance of the Universe by Renard, and then I read A Course in Miracles. I have a huge library of spiritual books, and I've read many, many, many wonderful authors, but those two books really touched me greatly. And then, after reading A Course in Miracles, I purchased, it was fiddling around online, and I landed on goingdeeper.org. And that's, Claude's website for his book, and I purchased a pre-release version of the book, and it had a profound impact on me. And when his agent emailed the other day that he would like to be interviewed on our show, I was tickled. And I just want to let people know that he's going to be coming on our show, the Don and Wynn Show, in the next couple weeks. And he, again, it's goingdeeper.org. But if you do decide to pick up a book this week, you know, I highly recommend picking up, of course, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. That's first and foremost. But Going Deeper is one that if you're going to read a book and enjoy it, this one's going to, it's actually going to present everything to you in a it's in a unique perspective that will, I think, ring with many of you, and it will open up your mind in such ways as you probably haven't thought possible. Wonderful book.
And then another guy we're going to have on is Dr.
So
Michael Sharp.
Carla's coming on.
Yeah, well, Michael Sharp.
And Michael Sharp, in fact, I still have to phone him and apologize for losing his last interview.
You did an interview with Michael, and Don
lost
his interview.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to find good help, John.
You know, it's
look, this week you got a fuzzy voice. Last week you lost Michael Sharp's interview. I fired you if you didn't own the company.
You know, I'd fire myself.
But you know what? You got to give Don a little leeway because, I mean, he probably works 14 hours a day. He does it all by himself. I mean, although...
It takes a team. We've got a great team here, folks.
Look, you can call me a guru. I can embarrass you, okay? So just be quiet. Let me continue embarrassing you and shut up. He works 14 hours a day. He puts every extra cent beyond what he needs to support his wife and kids into blogging service. And he's finding and putting up everything that he can find that he thinks is going to help you. And he's not, you know, he hasn't looked at it as a job. It's his service. And everyone that's taking advantage of blogging owes a huge vote of gratitude to Don Newsom.
Wow.
And send him some emails. You know what? We talked about being of service. Send him an email and tell him you love him. He loves to get that, okay?
Well, thank
you. You know, the truth is, like, this is the whole thing. Don't miss an opportunity to uplift anyone. That's what they told me. They gave me that specific message. Don't miss an opportunity. And I took it very seriously. So whether it's the waitress at a restaurant, whether it's somebody I pass in a hallway that I can smile at, whether it's, look for the opportunities, because all of us are surrounded by humans, and every human that passes us is our opportunity. And even when you're feeling a little bit down, as soon as, you know, there's a law that is that if you change the way somebody else feels, it immediately comes back to you, and you immediately feel different yourself. So if you feel depressed, change someone else who's feeling depressed. Make them smile. Tell them a joke, and you will change your depression. If you're feeling a sense of lack, make somebody else not feel a sense of lack. You know what?
I got goosebumps when you said that, because what you just said is probably one of the most important and sound advice I've ever heard. I mean, you're so right. Wynn, thank you. God bless you.
My son, you're really welcome. But that is how you change. That's how you feel grounded. Make someone else feel grounded, and you feel grounded. Even if it's a little bit. You don't have to, see, people follow rules, and then they go by a rule instead of following their heart. And then I'll tell somebody, well, make somebody else feel grounded. And they say, well, I took in all the neighbors that are all in the living room, and I don't feel grounded yet. You know, you got to follow these things with your own discernment. You can't give more than you can afford to give. You can't risk more than you can afford to risk. But everyone can risk a little. Everyone can give a little. You know, and find the, and you know, sometimes, and if you can't give money, give smiles, give encouragement, give care, call somebody that you know is lonely, and just say, you know what, I knew you were lonely, I just wanted to cheer you up. How many times do people say, I don't want to get involved in them, they're lonely, they'll dump all their stuff on me. Don't let them. Take command and say, listen, I'm learning to take command. You know, people come up to me all the time, because I guess I'm a semi-celebrity. I've written a book. I don't think of myself as a celebrity, but people come up and they say, well, how's your book doing? And you know what? A few years ago, I would have gotten into conversations with each person. I'd say, well, it's doing this. I did an interview there, and da-da-da-da-da. And you know what? There's nothing to be gained from that conversation. Nothing.
That's
so
right.
I decided I wasn't going to do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't go out, because I'd be afraid people would be approaching me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I go out, people approach me, and they say a question like that, and I say, I'm not answering that question. Next question. And if they can't think of another question, I say, nice to see you, and we say goodbye. But you know what? It forces people to be creative. It forces people out of the normal routine. Like, how often when you go out, when you meet people, just to be polite, you make certain things. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. It's actually not wrong at all. And you know what? On some level, sometimes people would be asking me, Wynn, how's your book doing? Because they want to connect. They want to connect with me. They want me, you know, they want to talk. They've heard me talk. They think I got something to say. But you know what? It doesn't work to get caught in the pattern of the matrix. Let's get right to what's important. Let's find what we really need to share to uplift ourselves and each other. Because this is what has to happen at a grassroots level. It has to happen at a grassroots level to change the world. Because we can't change the world from the top down. The government isn't going to change. Their intentions are not going to change. Their atrocities are not going to change. It's good to know about them. It's good to know about them so that you can steer clear of it if it comes your way. It's you know, maybe at one point, you know, who knows, there'll be enough consciousness about it that they'll change. People, there'll be enough love beaming around that they'll change their own attitudes. But in the meantime, each of us has the ability in our own little world, in our own little community, to be a light bearer, to hold this energy. And it means standing above the crowd. It means when everyone else goes into panic, you're not in panic. We're going to be putting on this weekly show and on everything I do, everything we can find to give you the tools to stay out of the garbage, to stay above it, to have the tools to know what's going on, so that you can be the holder of the energy in your community. You know, I started a program of doing conference calls, and I'm talking about my book, and I'm talking, you know, specifically about some of the premises in it. And a lot of times people have read the book, and it's like they just joined a private club. But it's not a private club. The problem is that so few people know the vocabulary, or it's so hard to share it without sounding like you just joined the loony bin, that people have a hard time sharing it. So I happen to know that I'm a good communicator and that I can translate things in simple ways. So that's why I'm doing these conference calls, and I'm doing every which way I can get out there to try to make this fly, because this is something that could potentially change the balance of energy on our planet. Those of you who are listening, you have an idea, you want to set up an interview at your local newspaper, do it. I'll be there. I mean, I'll be there over the phone. You want to share some of this stuff with someone new? Invite them to the conference call. If you have, you know, 10 or 20 people that you want to share this with, I'll do a special conference call just for your 10 or 20 people. And that way it builds an energy in your own community of this reality, and people can ask questions. I'm asking for a suggested donation of $2 for people to come into the conference calls. And it's totally voluntary, and if you don't get anything out of it, forget it. But it's my way of doing something that helps me keep a flow coming in to put this, keep putting this out. So, Don, do you have anything else?
You know, we pretty much covered everything. Who's going to be coming on board with us, being interviewed here in the next couple weeks? I did want to say that, of course, you have another channeling that'll be put on the board sometime next week. I also wanted to thank everybody for all their wonderful emails and for understanding that, you know, it's taking a bit of time moving over to the new dedicated servers. And I apologize again, you know, for the time it's taking to do that, but it will be worth it, I can assure you. And so as next week unfolds, we'll pretty much have everything taken care of and all the kinks worked out. And, you know, we love doing what we're doing. I personally truly love what I'm doing, and I love each and everybody out there. And all I want for everybody is happiness, true joy, not just happiness, but joy. I want them to feel joy. I want them to know peace, and I want them to spread that joy and peace to others and help create a vision for this new age that we can all love and enjoy. Because if we don't reach out and help touch others, you know, we're not really helping ourselves. It comes back to the thing of what you give, you get, and what you have, you are. So you aren't anything without giving everything. And I think our Creator did that best when He gave us everything. So it's time now to change, I think, our world and change the way we think about it and change the way we think about each other. And coming from a place that we've forgotten for just too long now. And I know people out there can do it. I'm with you. I love you. And I just hope you keep listening to the Don and Wynn Show and all the other wonderful programs that we have here on BBS Radio.
Did you notice the shift of energy that we did in the show?
Yeah, I did.
You know what? This is what happens every time. And, I mean, it's always to my own surprise whenever it happens. Because, I mean, I started out the show, and I'm at this convention. I'm tired. I've been in meetings all day. Don's been working crazy, screwing up his board. And we start where we are, and we always start, and I think maybe it's not going to happen this time. Maybe it's not going to happen. And every time, somewhere in the middle of the show, the energy shifts, and I feel like we really connected with the people who are listening.
And I think we connect with each other.
And we connect with each other. Right. Well, and my model of that, and I think this is an accurate model, is that while you're listening to us, we are also connecting on what's called the grid lines of the planet, the energy field of the planet. And so we are making, right now, a field that connects us all, it's real, and that is part of the protection of the planet. So we've been ending the show with what I call calling in the light. Anyone wants to do this, I put a website up called prayitforward.net. You can do it with your friends or your family. And it's kind of an invocation to the higher dimensions to connect with us all. So, should we do that, Don?
I would love to. That's always my best time of the show, when you call come to light.
You did it last week, so I'll do it this week.
Please, okay. Please.
Next time we're going to have your mother call in and do it.
You know, and she would do a good job, too.
I bet she would. You know, the key to all this is no one owns it. Once you see how it works, once you can intuit it, you can duplicate it and do it yourself and with the people you care about. That's the key.
That's the key.
Yeah. Father, Mother, God, I'd like to ask right now for the presence of the light to surround and protect Don and myself and every person that's listening. And I ask that any negativity be taken to the higher realms and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. I would ask each person that's listening to put their own personal problems, their own anxieties, into the light and let it go. Put those that you love and care about into the light, this light energy, and put them in for healing. And we ask for those forces that I know exist, that have made personal contact with me, the interdimensional sources, to come in and touch into this energy, and we give them permission to help us and support us and support our planet while it's going through this transition. And we want only those forces coming in, the Christed energies, for the highest good of all concerned. And that those who are reaching out can have a direct experience of this energy in their space. They may see it as light energy. They may see it as an opening of their chakras. Some of them may channel it, actually give it a voice. And those who are open and looking may notice some direct experience. And whether they call it group energy, or whether they call it God, or whether they call it Christ, whether they call it Allah, it doesn't matter the name, because it's all the same energy. And that we need more of it on our planet right now. It's an experience, it's an energy that exists in your space. And some of you, I know, are feeling it, and you're not imagining that. That's real. It is the energy we're talking about. And notice how it feels, and notice through the course of the next week, if you ask for that energy in your space, it just might show up. I thank you. I thank Don for giving me the opportunity to be here tonight. And we send this energy, I should send it to all the people in the hurricane areas, all the people in Iraq that are in pain and dying. We surround the earth with the grid lines of the earth with our energies. We send prayers to the planet for healing. And I'm glad to be of service, and we look forward to hearing you next week, and maybe we'll have the phone lines connected where people can call in and we can actually have voice.
You know, we have a lot of listeners online right now, more than we've ever, earlier, quite a bit more than we've ever had. And I apologize that we're not able to take phone calls again during dialogues between Wynn and myself because of the equipment. I don't want to belabor a dead dog here, but I can assure you next week will be quite different. Things will be really up to snuff, and I'm going to enjoy that time because we're going to be able to interact with our audience who's listening, and that to me is something I greatly look forward to. And I want to send this energy to you, Wynn, that you've created. I hope it surrounds you for the rest of the week. You're doing wonderful work in California, and you and girlfriend X and Y, I want them to be surrounded with this energy and to know that we love them and we thank them dearly.
Girlfriend Y is really sick right now, and maybe just send that energy to her for a little while.
I would like that. And
in fact, if anyone, we conversations with my girlfriend and get something out of it. Once there's an email to my attention, I'll forward it to her, because she was very doubtful that the whole thing was real, and yet one by one it started to really reach new people, and she's getting a sense every week more and more of how important what was happening between her and I was.
Yeah.
So all those links are up on the Donna Lynn Show page.
No, we're losing you. We're losing your reception, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. My microphone was on my third eye. Okay. Did any of that come through?
Oh, yeah. It came through.
Okay. So I'm going to sign off then.
Okay.
We'll talk later.
Wynn, you're dearly loved. I thank you again for being my co-host. It's an honor for me to be co-hosting a show with you, and many blessings to you this evening. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right.
And to the audience, you know I love you. And just carry God in your hearts. When you're out on a walk today, if you're going to take a walk tomorrow morning or tonight, ask God to hold your hand, and you'll be surprised He is. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others ever. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.